Lord our God, how thankful we are for the privilege to serve you. We thank you that you've called us to a ministry of service, serving you. We will meet the needs of others. We thank you for this community of faith that we call Second Baptist. For those who have labored with us for many years, like Sister Bessie Giles, we bless your name for the ushers who have walked the floor today, husbands and wives. We thank you for those who have lifted up their voices to sing praises, some individually, others collectively as a choir called the Contemporaries. We bless your name for those who have played instruments, our organists, our guitarists, violinists, our flautists, drummer. We bless your name for the skills that you've given them, for clergy who have gathered in this place to lead us through the liturgy of worship. And now, Lord, we ask your blessings upon your servant whom you've called to proclaim your word, to speak truth to power. Bless now this waiting congregation, deacons, trustees, presidents of mission and men's ministry. Thank you for the privilege to worship and to lead. Give me strength and courage, power for such an hour as this. Honor us with your presence, for we've come to realize that only what we do for Christ will last. No matter what buildings we build, skyscrapers, grand and tall, but only what we do for you will last. So we pray that one day when this life is over, we shall hear your voice saying, "Well done. Well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thank you for what you've prepared for us at the end of this journey." And then remind us that you've not brought us thus far to leave us. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said, "Amen." Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah." Come on, help me here. Hallelujah. 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 Would you please stand and take the Pew Bible and turn to page 900? Or if you have your own Bible, you may turn to Luke chapter 12, beginning with that 13th verse. And I need your help. If you're able to stand, would you please stand? If you are not able to stand, we understand, and God knows your heart. Pew Bible, page 900, in your personal Bible, whatever page it is. I will begin reading the 13th verse, and I will continue with the 15th. So I will read the odd verses, and you read the even. We're preaching together today. And one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." He said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, For man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room here to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And in whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? You may be seated in the presence of our King. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, don't be no fool. Come on, help me here. Neighbor, don't be no fool. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you made a foolish decision. Do you know the definition of a fool? Oh, come on now. Y'all got to work with me. A fool is a person that lacks judgment or has no sense. A foolish person, a person who makes a foolish decision, is one who has not thought through the decision nor research his or her answers. In this text, Jesus is teaching the multitudes when suddenly he was interrupted by a man who obviously was upset. The man's father had died, and he said to Jesus, Master, he recognized who Jesus was and one of his names, Master, Teacher, or Rabbi. He took note that Jesus was a master teacher, a master workman for Christ, for God. And so he says, Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Disputes about inheritance were very common at that time. For the social arrangement of the family dictated that the oldest son assumed control the moment his father died, acquiring the responsibility for settling the estate with all the other siblings. In Jesus' story of the prodigal son, the older brother probably got two-third share simply by virtue of his birth order, while the prodigal got one-third. If there were more than two children, the oldest son probably would receive one-half of the estate. Everybody else would have to receive a portion of what was left. The point was that firstborn sons occupied exceedingly powerful positions in ancient family systems. Those of us who've had loved ones to die and left us something, or left the favorite child all of it, we become angry, disenchanted, seek a lawyer to reverse the will. I know what happened in my family. When my mother passed, she left everything that she had to my sister, the only female sibling. And I never will forget. I called her home and she didn't answer the phone after talking to her on Wednesday night. I called my sister that Thursday morning and said, Katrina, would you go check on mother? When the last time you talked with her? She said, I talked with her about 10:30 last night. I said, well, I talked to her about 9. Go check on her. I called and she didn't answer the phone. Katrina went to the house and took a male friend with her. The male friend called me and said, Robert, is this Robert? I said, this is Robert. Is this Robert? I said, this is Reverend Jemison. He said, is this Robert? I said, yeah, this is Robert. He said, your mama dead. You can imagine how I felt. And I said, who are you? He said, I'm Katrina's friend. Where's Katrina? She's in the house with your dead mama. I wished I had... At that moment, I wished I had not met the Lord. Because I sure had something to tell him. The street in me rose up, but the Holy Spirit pressed it down. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, tell Tina, I'll be there. Guess what? Within 2 hours, I was at the house. House locked up. My key wouldn't work. Back door, front door. I said to myself, what's going on here? I saw my youngest brother's car drive into the driveway across the street. I ran across the street. I asked the lady, I said, is this Cleveland's car? She said, yes. I just took him home from the hospital. About that time, Katrina arrived. And she said, Robin, mama's dead. I said, yeah, I know. You're stupid, foolish boy told me. She opened the door. We went inside, and mother had this little box that she kept all the important papers in. On the top of the papers, Deacon Martin was the will. Now, that's amazing that mama just died, and the will is at the top. I opened it up and started reading. I looked at my sister. She said, I ain't have nothing to do with that. I was one angry child because mother said she left all of her earthly goods to my sister Katrina and her 2 grandchildren, Channing and Channing's sister. I was as white as I could be with anger. Y'all catch that on your way home. I took it, read it, and underneath that was the insurance policy. $5,000 burial policy. This is God's truth. I said to Tina, where is mom? She said, she is at the coroner's office, but we're going to give her to a funeral home. I said, you got a funeral home picked? Yes. She had the funeral home. Make the long story short, she had arranged for the funeral home to pick my mother up and for us to meet the mortician or the funeral director at 10 o'clock that night. Arrived at his office. Katrina was 30 minutes late. He wouldn't talk to me. He was only talking to Katrina. Guess what? I didn't talk to Katrina. I said, whatever you want to do, do it. She went in and picked a funeral, made the arrangements for a $15,000 funeral. I signed over the insurance policy to the man. He said, you need 10 more thousand. I said, Katrina has it. She has my mother's will. She has all of it. Guess what Katrina said? Mama don't want her money going in the ground. Y'all catch that on your way home. Mother had a decent funeral. Y'all were there, celebrated with us. But was I angry about the will and inheritance? Somewhat. But I remember what Mother said to me when I graduated from college and seminary and the master's. She said, Robert, You are able to take care of yourself. You need to look out for those who cannot take care of themselves. You'll catch that on your way home. This young man was angry. His father had died. And the brother, the older brother, had not divided the inheritance in the way that it should have been divided. And so he comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, make my brother divide the inheritance as he should. And look what Jesus said. Man, what do I have to do with that? But because Jesus was the master, he felt that Jesus could make a difference. The love of money and possessions caused people to do strange things. Maybe you heard the story of two sons whose rich father had died. The older brother was fun-loving. He enjoyed the parties and the party lights. He enjoyed the music of the world and the dance of the world. The younger brother was one who played by the rules, rather an introvert. He was one that loved his dad, but he loved the honor that comes with being a son of a prominent man. The two brothers found themselves alone in the funeral parlor with their father's corpse. The older brother said to the younger brother, you and I know that money meant more to our father than anything else. I think the most appropriate thing for us to do at this moment should be for each of us to put $1,000 in his hand and let him be buried with it. The younger brother agreed, said that's a great idea. He rushed off to the bank, got $1,000 in $100 bills, goes back, slides the money in his father's hand. The older brother, take note of what his younger brother had done, and late that night when nobody else was around, he took the $1,000 and wrote a check for $2,000 and put it in his father's hand. Oh, y'all ain't listening. The father got his $2,000, but it was in a check. And the older brother knew he couldn't spend it anyway, so he took the money, wrote a check for $2,000. The point is, the significance of one's life is never to be measured by the abundance of things one possesses. Can I say something to Second Baptist and to myself? First, don't be a fool by believing that material wealth can give you security against all the uncertainties of this world. Your money, your possessions, cannot extend your life beyond the limits that God has set for you. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God knows when you're going to die. Physicians may tell you that you have 6 months, but you look up and you're still around 4 years later. Physicians may say that you have 4 years to live and you walk out of the hospital and drop dead because your life is in the hands of God. God knows the moments, the days, the hours, the minutes, and the seconds that we have to live. And so, my brothers and sisters, whatever you have, know that it's a gift from God to be used to the glory of God, for God's glory in the church, in the community, in the world. We live in a global society. And so whatever God has given us should be shared with the global society. You can look at a can and say that this can of tuna fish came from Japan. Or you can look at a package and say that this ball of lettuce came from California. Can I help you? God moves in mysterious ways, and he puts us together in the way that he chooses to put us together. No monies, no possessions that you and I have can make our life longer. For our hands, as Job has said, our lives are in the limits that God sets. And I don't know about you, but one thing I do know, that God is my creator, and that whatever he says for me and whatever lifespan he has for me, it's for me. So do not be a fool by believing that material wealth can give you security against the uncertainties of life. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, I will tear down and build great abundance. Can I help us? The psalmist tells us that unless the Lord builds, the labor labors in vain. Things can take you only so far and do only so much for you. You remember the rich man in God's story about Lazarus and David. It was a rich man, and the beggar came to his house and around his table, asking for bread, asking for food. And the Bible says that the rich man did not give him any food, but had him escorted out of his house and left him hungry. The Bible helps us to understand that no matter how rich you are or how poor you are, that there is a rendezvous, there is a date that each one of us has with death. And so, my brothers and sisters, when I think about this rich man and not feeding the poor man, my heart wonders what God does for those who have and those who have not. And when those who have do not share with those who have not, what is God's plan for your life? When I look at the story and see that David died and Lazarus also died, the Bible says that David looked up and found himself in hell, and looked and saw the beggar whom the dogs had licked his sores. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, don't let a dog be more humane than you. Y'all not walking with me. Dog licked his sores, and then the Bible says he died. But he found himself in the bosom of Abraham, which is symbolic of heaven. And when David looked up and saw Lazarus, he asked that Lazarus would be permitted to take his finger and dip it in some water and touch his tongue to help him, to relieve him of what the pain he was going through of thirst in the hotness of his body. There was a voice saying, there is a gulf, that there is something that separates heaven from hell. And he could not do it. But thanks be to God that those of us who know that our wealth won't get us anywhere in the kingdom of God, that God judges us by our character, that God judges us by our Christian belief, that God judges us by our new birth. Yes, he said to Nicodemus, In John chapter 3, you must be born again. And the wind blows where it will, and the waves and the wind touches the leaves, and the leaves shake. But guess what? It is the power of God in the blowing. It's the power of God that moves everything. I don't know about you, but I thank God that God is a prime mover, that God moves, and he moves in a mysterious way and is wondrous to perform. He moves in our bodies, and those of us who have been sick know that God is a healer, that God can lift us up, return us back to the usher board, return us back to proclaiming his word, because God moves in a mysterious way. When I look at this text and see that the beggar made his way to heaven and the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, do not think that your wealth, do not be a fool by believing that your wealth will get you through. Secondly, do not be a fool by missing the opportunity to recognize that God's grace is behind every gift given. Notice how often the farmer uses the words I, my, and mine. Here he is talking about, I know what I will do. Here he is saying, because I have no room here to bestow my fruits, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. That 19th verse. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But that 20th verse said, But God said unto him, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? You're talking about I. It's me. It's about me. It's about mine. His ego got in his way. He thought that he had planted the seed. He thought that he made the seed grow. The farmer, here's a man who thought his efforts were the only source of the great bounty he had just harvested. Do you not know that the rain, the soil, the seed, and the sunshine provided 95% of the energies in all of the growth, and that the farmer only provided 5%? It is almost comical to hear the farmer say, I, my, and mine, as if his efforts had been the only factor in the harvest. We must be mindful that one plants, another waters, but God gives the growth. God gives the increase. Think about this. Have you ever been to a place in your life where you didn't have anything? Have you ever been to a place in your life where you didn't have food, where you didn't have proper shelter or clothing? Have you ever been in a place in your life that it seemed like you were not going to make it? Can I tell you something? I've been there. I've been to a place where it looked like I wasn't going to make it. When I was studying for the Master of Christian Education in Applied Christianity, I went to Cleveland, Ohio, there in that January 1970, the coldest January in the history of that time of Cleveland, Ohio. I was given $2 by the instructor to live for 30 days. $2. What could I buy with $2? A Coke was 25 cents. Potato chips with 15 cents. And I didn't have anywhere to live, didn't have anywhere to stay. What was I going to do with $2? Well, thanks be to God. God always makes a way. I took that $2, took one of those dollars, Deacon Johnson, cashed it in, and went and stood in front of the bus station, saw a newspaper stand, put one quarter in and took out all the newspapers. Y'all missing it? Stood on the corner, sold the newspapers. When I got through selling the newspapers, I had $10, $11, and 75 cents in my pocket. But guess what? That wasn't the end of the story. The $10 couldn't help me that much. 30 days, and they will forget. I went in the bus station, sit on a seat. Policeman came by about 9 o'clock that night, touched me and said, "Sir, you can't stay here. You got to move." I moved out, and as soon as he left, I moved back in. Old man touched me and said, "Son, if you got a ticket, they can't put you out of here." Oh, that's another sermon there. If you have a ticket to heaven, Satan can't do you no harm. If you have your passport to heaven, the devil can't stop you from going there. If you've been born again, the devil can't stop you. I stayed all night. Then I left, went to a place, met an old man. I tell you, old folk can help you. Young folk, old folk can help you. Don't mistreat them. They can help you. I said to this man, "Sir, I need a place to stay." He told me about a flop house. Y'all don't know anything about a flop house. Go to the flop house. Could stay in the flop house all night for $3. Well, I stayed 3 nights, and then I'm broke again. But guess what? Another man told me, "Go tell them that you are from the South and that you're running for your life." So I went to the welfare office. Y'all ain't with me. I went to the welfare office, told them I'm running for my life. I'm from South Dallas, and I'm running for my life. Lady said, "Why are you running?" I said, "Well, I'm running because I'm running for my life." "Well, what happened?" "You know, down south, you can't date white women and be as black as I am. And so I had to run for my life." Well, there's a little truth to that. Not a whole lot, but a little. And guess what? She gave me pass for the same hotel that I paid $9 to live in for 3 days. Ooh, y'all missing it? I went back with a pass, and the pass had a food ticket to it, so I could eat and sleep. Don't tell me God will not make a way. He makes a way. Don't be foolish. Don't be a fool by thinking that you made it all by yourself. You did not make it by yourself. I did not make it by myself. I made it by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the love of God. Stay with God. Young people, stay with Christ. The world may have different music, but there's nothing that can soothe your soul like what a friend we have in Jesus. There's nothing that can carry you through like Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Don't make a foolish decision by thinking you made it on your own. Finally, do not be a fool by not sharing. In this man we find the absence of generosity. He missed being human. Hospitality is a willingness to give. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. There's an old story, as I prepare to take my seat, there's an old story of a man who dreamed one night that he had died and was given the chance to go to hell and heaven. In his dream, he learned one thing about death, that death did to people. He learned that death had stiffened the elbows of the ones in hell as well as the ones that were in heaven. They were forced to live with this kind of physical rigidity. In hell, he saw people with bread in both hands, but could not get it to their mouth because they could not bend the elbows. In heaven, he saw persons with bread in their hands, but they could not bend their elbows. But he saw them exercising generosity, exercising the fact that no man is an island unto himself. And so in heaven, the persons who could not feed themselves were feeding others. There's a message here. When you cannot feed yourself, feed others, and others will feed you. There's a message here. Second Baptist, if we cannot be in our arms to feed ourselves, let's feed the folks next door and feed them on the word of God. There's nothing like the word of God to feed the hungry. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you came to see about me. I was sick and you visited me. Lord, when did we see you in such conditions? He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Is there anybody here that's willing to not be a fool and feed others, knowing that God will reward you for your works? He rewards us when we care for others. He rewards us when we give of our best in service to God and to humankind. I watch the funeral services of Senator McCain, and I was moved by the fact that he was so helpful. Even though he could not salute, he still paid honor to those whom honor was due. He invited our two presidents to come. Y'all missed that. Y'all catch it on your way home. He invited Clinton. You know, they used to say he was the first black. He invited Barack Obama. George Bush spoke. And Obama spoke. Well, listen to the wisdom that God had given President Obama. He said that he and the senator, though they differed on a number of things, he invited him to come to the Oval Office and sit and talk to him continuously. Sometimes we don't do everything God wants us to do, but he still invites us to come to his house. Sometimes we don't walk the way he wants us to walk, but he still invites us to come to his house. Sometimes we don't act like we are children of the Almighty God, but he still invites us to come to his house. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I accepted the invitation. temptation to come to Jesus. And when I came to him, I didn't have much, but thanks be to God, he took what little I had and helped me to feed thousands of folk by preaching the word of God. Is there anybody got anything that they want to offer to God this day? Don't be a fool thinking you got it all. Don't be a fool by not praising God for what he's done for you. And don't be a fool by not sharing the goodness of God. I wished I could tell you how good God has been to me. I'll soon be 75 years of age, and I've only been in a hospital one time overnight. I had not had to go to the doctor except for a pain in my back. But guess what? God told me the other day, Jimerson, I didn't bring you this far to leave you. I still got some things I want you to do for me. And I don't know about you, but I've come to praise him. I'm going to praise him every day, every hour, every moment, every second, because he's worthy of praise. Is there anybody here that would join me in praising God, saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise him. Praise him in this place. Call me a fool if you want, but I'm going to praise him because he's worthy. He's worthy. Yeah. He's worthy of all praise and all thanksgiving. I don't want him to make me do anything. I want to do what I do because I love him. I love him. I love him. Somebody say, why are you loving Jimerson? Because I've been kissed by the Son. When I think about Jesus, I wish I had time to tell you what he looked like. Excuse me, friends. But guess what? He got hair like lamb's wool. Got eyes red as fire and hadn't been drinking. Got feet like polished brass. And I don't care what y'all say. In my culture, he's black. Somebody else's culture, he may be blue eyes and blonde. But in my culture, he got a big nose. And in my culture, he's got all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Choir singing, deacons are coming. We invite you to say amen and shout hallelujah.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy to be praised. Come on, choir. Let's just praise the Lord. Why don't we praise him? He's been good. Let's praise the Lord. Jesus, blessed Savior. He's worthy. From the rising of the sun unto the going down, the Lord is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Praise him. We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to thank the Lord. He's been good. He's provided for us. Jesus, He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised.